Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, hour two.
Greetings, America. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. If you want to be on the program, if you're just tuning in at the top of the last hour, we're talking about the St. Francis Hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The feds want to yank its accreditation for Medicare Medicaid services because it has a candle it keeps lit in its chapel, being a Catholic hospital. And a lot of people have emailed, what can we do? What can we do? The Beckett Fund is already taking care of it. The Beckett Fund, group of lawyers that help religious institutions and individuals fight for their religious liberty, is taking the case and has already sent a letter to CMS, the Center for Medicare Medicaid Services, and hopefully they will be persuaded. Otherwise, they're going to go to court. So if you want to help, the Beckett Fund is a great institution. If you want to make a donation to them, Beckett Fund, check them out. Great, great people. If you want to do that. Now, what is this that I am being texted? There is a shooting incident in Midtown Atlanta happening right now. Atlanta police say multiple people have been injured. An active shooter situation on West Peachtree Street. Dozens of heavily armed officers are at 1100 West Peachtree Street Northwest, Northside Hospital facility. Several people being taken out of the building. Anyone in the area is asked to secure their building, shelter in place. Anyone not in the area is asked to stay away. My goodness. So that is West Peachtree Street in Midtown Atlanta. Those of you on WSB, obviously, we will have ongoing coverage. That's my flagship station, and we will maintain coverage of that as it's ongoing. So stick with us here as this shooting situation in Midtown Atlanta plays out. Now, we have to talk about gas stoves again. There is a familiar pattern that happens when progressives want to advance something. They suggest what is coming. The right responds to the left's idea. The left says, well, we were never going to do that anyway. Why do you care about this issue? Why are you making it a culture war topic? And then they implement it. And the right says, see, I told you so. And the left says, why are you a bunch of bigots? This is good for you. Gas stoves are playing out that way. The Product Safety Commission said we're thinking of banning gas stoves. People on the right said this is a crazy idea. People on the left says, why are you turning gas stoves into a culture war issue? Nobody wants to ban gas stoves. And then California, Washington State, and now New York have all attempted. New York has become the first state to pass a law banning natural gas and other fossil fuels in most new buildings. Last Tuesday, the New York legislature approved a $229 billion state budget that will prohibit natural gas hookups and other fossil fuels in most new homes and other construction, a major victory for climate activists. The move will face a court challenge from the fossil fuel industry and will serve as a test of state power to ban fossil fuels outright. Now, cities around the country have tried this, including Oakland, California. Oakland, California attempted this, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, of all things, not exactly a conservative institution, said you can't do this. There's a federal law that prohibits this sort of thing. But the Democrats have decided they want to try it anyway. So here's the pattern. The federal government, the Biden administration, suggests they're going to do something. The right says this is nuts. The left says this isn't happening. Why are you making stuff up? And then left-wing governments at the local level say, we're going to do this. Now, this again, the Ninth Circuit struck down, it was Berkeley, not Oakland. Berkeley did a gas ban. And Massachusetts has allowed other cities in Massachusetts to ban it. That's going to be on court review as well. But New York wants to do it statewide. And by the way, this is the first of many states attempting it. So there's a problem here. Now, some of you, those of you who live in California where the weather's always gorgeous, you may not be aware of this. But in a large portion of the country, there's something that locals call winter. And you in California, you say, well, with global warming, you're not going to have it much. No. Now they say we're going to have more extremes, so you're still going to have blizzards. And when there are blizzards in parts of the country, power goes out. Because not in every part of the country are the power lines buried underground. Well, all natural gas pipelines are buried under the ground. So when the blizzard comes through and the tree falls and the power lines go out, people's lights go out and their electric heating goes out. However, if they have gas stoves and gas fireplaces and gas heaters, they can still stay warm in the winter and not freeze to death. What you're going to wind up seeing here, and this is very obvious, is you're going to have a lot of houses now add wood-burning fireplaces. And you're going to get more emissions from the wood-burning fireplaces than you got from the gas stoves. I have several friends who have wood-burning stoves. I think Charlie's dad keeps a wood-burning stove. My sister and her husband in Tennessee, they keep a wood-burning stove in their house as a way to supplement the heat if the power goes out. You're going to have more of that. There's also this thing in the South during the summer is called a hurricane. Now, for those of you who live outside the South, a hurricane is a giant storm that blows in from the ocean and can have devastating effects, and it can take the power out. When I was growing up in Louisiana, we would have hurricanes come through. I remember Hurricane Andrew came through. We had moved back from Dubai. We were home. We lived about 2.5 hours north of the ocean. If you remember, Hurricane Andrew cut across Florida, was devastating, and then it hooked north and came up through Louisiana. We were out of school for a week. We lived hours from the coast, and Hurricane Andrew was still such a powerful storm. Our school was damaged, and the power was out. In some places, the power was out for more than a week and a half. And if you didn't have gas stoves, gas, it wouldn't work. You had no way to cook. And you know, a lot of whole house generators, we need one for my house. My house does not have a whole house generator for a very long time. I did the radio show out of my house and I didn't have one, but I had a lot of UPS battery backups. But I'd like to get a whole house generator. You know, whole house generators operate on either natural gas or propane. Most of them do. Some will operate on kerosene, but most of them you use either a propane tank or you use natural gas. And that eliminates, if you have no natural gas hookups for a house, you're not going to be able to use a whole house generator unless you have kerosene, which is more polluting than the natural gas. So all of this is to say the left hasn't thought this out. The environmental movement seems intent on sending us back to the dark ages, the last time the world depended on solar and wind. And they want to take away our guns so we can't protect ourselves at night. And they want to destroy our quality of life. They want to make your life miserable. This is an ascetic religion is what's happening on the left here. Secularism, they believe that we are bad. We destroy the planet, and we must punish ourselves, and they want to use government to do it to degrade our quality of life. And they deny it until they can implement it. It's remarkable. Opponents, this is from the New York Times, or Washington Post rather, opponents derided the New York bill's passage as governmental overreach. Republican Robert Ort, minority leader of the New York Senate, issued a statement criticizing the law as the first in the nation unconstitutional ban that will drive up utility bills and increase housing costs. The law does not affect existing buildings. It specifically exempts renovations, but over time, it could chip away at the gas industry's dominance of the state, where 3 in 5 households rely on natural gas for heating. Only about 1 in 7 households heat with electricity. The ban extends to heating oil and propane, raising questions about the future of those fuels in New York State's more rural communities. So they won't even allow you a propane tank at your house in New York. This is nuts. By the way, gas fuels 46% of New York's electricity generation. I really think that people on the left have in their minds good intentions. I disagree with them. I disagree. But I think they have good intentions. They want to save the planet. They think that we are polluting. They think we've got to do something about climate change. And they just haven't thought through their solutions. So let's add to this. Now, in New York, overwhelmingly, people in New York heat their houses with gas, natural gas. They want to force everyone to electricity. They also want to force everyone to electric cars. They don't have the power grid, power generation to be able to sustain this. You expand this nationwide, you don't have the power. It's not available. We simply are at a deficit. And they're not thinking about that. You know, people on the right, and I do think this is true, that people on the right tend to be more rational. People on the left tend to be more emotional. And the left becomes very dominant as people become very emotional. People don't think things through. They go with their emotions. You're seeing more people move towards their emotions. Logic is out the window. Reason is out the window. Everything's about emotion. And with emotion oftentimes comes some level of empathy. But the reality here is that these people are not empathizing with the poor. They're not empathizing with the middle class. They're going to drive up costs on people, and they may do it. Their intentions may be pure to save the planet, whether you or I agree with them, that they think their intention is pure. But they haven't thought it through. They haven't thought about the blizzards. They haven't thought about the blackouts. They haven't thought about the hurricanes. They haven't thought about all of the problems that come with reliance on electricity and no offsets to natural gas or propane. Will you be able to have a gas grill in New York? Will they ban you from having a propane tank for a gas grill? The language suggests that if you have a propane tank that connects into the house, yeah, they're going to be prohibited. I know a lot of people who have propane tanks that are tied into their house that fuel their fireplaces and their gas grill outside. I wish I had that set up. I don't. You won't be able to do that anymore under this legislation. They're degrading the quality of life of people because they've decided we've had the good times and the good times must come to an end. These are not happy warriors. These are bitter pessimists who intend to legislate their pessimism on the rest of us. They want to degrade the quality of life of people in New York and cause a lot of people to die in the winter when they freeze to death because the power's out and they no longer have gas stoves or gas fireplaces to keep them warm or gas heaters to keep them warm. They haven't thought it through. They never think these things through. They essentially think if we build it, they will come. If we ban it, we will adapt. They want us to adapt to a life of no gas, but they can't bring themselves to adapt to the idea of climate change. They want to ruin our lives, drive up costs, and along the way, deny it's ever happening until it's too late to stop them. Thank God for all the conservatives on the benches of the judiciary who can put a stop to this insanity. I keep having friends tell me they realized I was right. Every time you wash sheets from Boll & Branch, they get softer and softer. They're the most luxurious sheets. The highest quality, incredible craftsmanship with just unmatched softness. 100% traceable organic cotton. It gets softer with every wash. I tell you guys that it's true. I can tell you it's a big difference. And I have bought different pairs of sheets to try to find some best. I keep coming back to my Boll & Branch sheets. They're incredible. They're buttery to the touch, super breathable. They're perfect for cooler weather and warmer weather. Why the drape? You actually feel like you've got something of substance on you so you can snuggle in, but you don't get overwhelmingly hot during the summertime, and it's just the perfect weight under the blanket as well during the wintertime. I love Boll & Branch sheets. They're so luxurious. They're loved by 4 U.S. presidents. Got over 10,000 raving reviews. Right now, get 15% off your first order when you use promo code ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, at BollandBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com. The promo code is ERIC, E-R-I-C-K. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Serious advisory for those of you listening on WSB in Atlanta. It's the largest talk station in the country. It is where I am on right now. It is my flagship station. I am not in the building. I am in my remote studio today, but in that area in Midtown, between 12th and 13th Streets on West Peachtree. Avoid that area like the plague. There is an active shooter in the area. Obviously, the news team at WSB Radio is going to be covering that a ton, but if you're listening in the Atlanta area to me right now, between 12th and 13th Streets in West Peachtree in Midtown Atlanta, avoid it. There is an active shooter in the area. The police have not yet apprehended the individual. There have been multiple shootings in the area. Please, if you're in the area, take shelter. If you are not in the area, avoid it, please, so the police can apprehend the shooter. Interesting day here in Atlanta. Now, we got other stuff to talk about. Speaking of crime in urban areas, Nordstrom's is shutting down all of its San Francisco locations because of crime. Have y'all seen the video of the Target in San Francisco? Every single product is in a case, and you have to get management to unlock the case to get anything from Legos to toothpaste to underwear. Everything is locked up. Because in San Francisco, the police will not detain you. If you're shoplifting less than $1,000, it's considered a misdemeanor now. And so there are roving gangs that go in and shoplift. And in Target, they're trying to stay open. But in order to do so, they've had to put everything behind glass in secure locked counters. I was in New York City a while back and went into a CVS. Because ironically, I'd forgotten to take my toothpaste and needed toothpaste. And everything was locked up. Everything, down to the candy, was locked up. And you had to get someone to open it to you. I wanted a Snicker bar. I was hangry. I'd been traveling all day. And I needed my toothpaste and had to have a shop clerk go with me and unlock the case to get everything. I was flabbergasted. I'd never seen anything like it. And it Nordstrom's has just given up. They're shutting down all their locations. Walgreens is doing the same thing. San Francisco is a failed city. It is a very failed city. And it's sad to see. And more people leaving San Francisco now than any other city in the nation. People are just all the people who can get out are getting out. The problem is some of them are moving to red states and taking their politics with them and trying to ruin red states. May God have mercy on their souls. All right, the economy, the Fed is probably going to raise interest rates again today. The stock market, not going to be happy. You might want to consider precious metals to help you. 800-450-2566 is the number for Advantage Gold. They're Trustlink's number one highest rated gold company 7 years in a row now. They got the best prices and staff. They've got a fantastic IRA department. If you're interested in using gold, silver, or other precious metals as part of your portfolio, and I'm talking actual physical, not certificates claiming you own them somewhere, but actual real physical gold and silver, reach out to Advantage Gold. They can answer your questions. They can give you the procedures the federal government requires for how you deposit and hold and store your gold and silver as part of your IRA or your 401k. There are rules for those separate from your individual portfolio. 800-450-2566 is the number. 800-450-2566. Call Advantage Gold. Tell them I sent you. 800-450-2566. Let them answer your questions about using physical gold and silver. Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you want to be on the program, they've released the trailer for Dune Part 2. It looks pretty awesome. Which reminds me, Philip and I, he never finished watching the end of that movie. He claimed he liked it, but I don't think he did. I've also got to get my kid to see Gladiator. Now, I got some movie watching to do with people. I haven't watched good movies in a while. Anyway, we're just randomly. I'm going to go to the theater to see Dune Part 2. It looks pretty good. Okay. We got to talk about the border. Because you probably heard Karine Jean-Pierre claim that it was down 90% border crossings. Peter Ducey called her out on this. Have you heard this exchange?
Yesterday, that when it comes to illegal migration, you've seen it come down by more than 90%. Where did that number come from?
It was,
because
I was speaking.
CBP is telling us the number is.
I hear you. I'm about to answer.
136,000 people more.
I'm about to answer you. If the dramatics could come down just a little bit. If the dramatics could come down a little
what's
bit.
What's dramatic about asking a question about?
Okay, I'm going to answer. So I was speaking to the parolee program. As you know, the president put in place a parolee program to deal with certain countries on ways that we can limit illegal migration. And we have seen, the data has shown us, that it has gone down by more than 90%.
The parolee program. Ah, so that's it. That's the ticket. She said, she never said that, by the way. When she gave the 90% number, she never said that to begin with. Now she's like, I was only talking about this one small program. Here's Ted Cruz.
Well, Larry, I'm sorry to say Karine Jean-Pierre is the most brazen liar ever to take the podium at the White House press briefing. She lies routinely, and it's not spin. Look, we expect White House press secretaries to spin, to have a take on the facts. Okay, that's part of discourse. But she stands up there and just gives flat-out falsehood. She just said, and you just played it, that under Biden, illegal immigration has dropped 90%. Now, that's not kind of sort of right. It's not a little bit right. It hasn't dropped at all.
Yes. And so now she's had to go back and clarify. One more Peter Ducey, Karine Jean-Pierre exchange.
If the border is secure, as the administration has said, then why would we need to send 1,500 active duty U.S. troops down there?
Because we need more work. We need more work needs to be done, Peter. We put forth a comprehensive immigration legislation, and Congress, Republicans in Congress, refuse to act. And so the president has used the tools that he has in front of him to prepare ahead of Title 42 lifting. As you know, that is happening in the next couple of days. And so we are putting DHS, Department of State, is putting forth processes to deal with the changes that are going to be ahead of us. And so that is what's important here. And that's what you've been seeing for the past several months. You've heard from DHS. You've heard from the State Department on what we're putting in place to deal with the border once Title 42 lifts.
So the border is secured, but there's more work to do. Homeland Security says it's needed and necessary, but the border is secure. This reminds me of Mayorkas when he was asked by Chuck Todd on Sunday what the definition of a secure border is.
What's the definition of secure border to you?
It is, in the context in which we are working, it is maximizing the resources that we have available to us to deliver the most effective results.
Okay, let me just stop there. What's the definition of a secure border to you? In the context in which we're working, it's to maximize resources. That's not the definition of a secure border.
And something that is overlooked, that I speak about frequently, mm-hmm. is the fact that our apprehension rates at our southern border are consistent with the apprehension rates in the prior administration. Mm-hmm. And why is that? It is because of the extraordinary and extraordinarily heroic work of our United States Border Patrol.
Now, there's a sleight of hand Mayorkas does right there, that their apprehension rates are the same as the prior administration. Yeah, can you figure out what a sleight of hand is there? Oh, he's not using percentages. He's not using percentages. He's using numbers, raw numbers. So if the Trump administration was apprehending 50,000 of the 100,000 people crossing the border, they're apprehending 50%. Mayorkas is apprehending 50,000 of the 500,000 crossing the border. He's actually, percentage-wise, not capturing as many. But he says that their capture rate is the same as the prior administration, and he's using the number. They're still capturing 50,000 like the Trump administration did per month, but the Trump administration was only dealing with 100,000 crossings, and they're dealing with 5. Now, I'm pulling these are not the real numbers, but you get my point, that he's using the numbers. He's not using the percentages to say that it's the same rate. And he won't actually say what a closed border is, what a secure border is. And that ultimately is the problem here, is that the border is not secure. Over 22,000 Border Patrol apprehensions in the last 72 hours. That's an average of 7,000 a day. Those are the peak numbers from last year. And we're 10 days away from lifting Title 42. A major surge is accepted. Now, this is from the chief of the Border Patrol, who, by the way, is no longer a fan of the Secretary of Homeland Security. Here, past 72 hours, he tweets, two agents were assaulted. There were 22,220 apprehensions, 806 pounds of methamphetamine seized, 283 pounds of marijuana seized, 62 pounds cocaine seized, 3 firearms seized, 2 sex offenders seized, 2 tractor trailers seized, 1 convicted murderer seized, 1 gang member seized, and there were 5 maritime events, meaning offshore trying to get people into the United States. This is nuts. And we're at a Title 42 surge. Now, what is the Title 42 surge? I think you know, but just if you're new here, Title 42 is the emergency health care powers of the United States used to detain people in Mexico and keep them there instead of letting them come into this country. Title 42 is going to expire because the COVID emergency has expired. It expires next week, so we're not going to be able to keep these people in Mexico. Now, the Biden administration is scrambling very hard to change that. They are trying to get a deal with the Mexican authorities so that we can keep people in Mexico. We'll see whether or not they can. This is from the Washington Post from this morning. The Biden administration says it has reached a deal with the Mexican government that for the first time will allow U.S. authorities to deport non-Mexican immigrants who enter the United States illegally back across the border. U.S. authorities view the agreement as a breakthrough, giving them a powerful enforcement tool as they contend with soaring numbers of migrants crossing into the United States ahead of the White House's plan to lift pandemic-era border restrictions on May 11th. The joint statement between the two nations says Mexican authorities will continue receiving Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans for humanitarian reasons once the restrictions expire. On Tuesday, Biden Homeland Security Advisor Elizabeth Sherwood Randall traveled to Mexico City to meet with President Andrés Manuel López Obrador and other senior officials to finalize the deal. So it's Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans. So it's not Guatemalans, it's not Hondurans, it's not Colombians, it's not the Chinese, it's not the Afghanis, it's not the Russians, it's not the Ukrainians, all of whom have been found crossing the border. Only some of the countries. Remarkable, isn't it? They're claiming some big credit here when we got a whole bunch of countries not represented. I mean, for those of you who do not know, let me just pull out the map here and go Rand McNally on you. So we got Belize, we got Guatemala, we got El Salvador, we got Honduras, we got Nicaragua, we got Costa Rica. Now, Panama and Costa Rica, Belize, largely stable. El Salvador situation improving. Guatemala has a lot of people fleeing. That's not covered in the list. Honduras has a lot of people fleeing. That's not covered in the list. So two of the major problematic countries, they're not even included. Migrants from Cuba, Nicaragua, and Venezuela pose a major challenge to U.S. authorities because the governments limit U.S. deportations as a result of strained diplomatic relations. So in other words, those countries won't take their citizens back once they've got to the United States. So Mexico is going to take them and leave them on the border, and they're going to sneak it again. I mean, look at the guy who killed the people in Texas, deported five times, and made it back into this country and killed those people. He, by the way, was arrested last night. They found him. They arrested him. This is going to be a campaign issue, and it deserves to be a campaign issue. The Biden administration getting rid of Title 42 has no serious plans for what they're going to do. They have no serious plans for how to respond. They have no serious plans to actually deal with the border. They pretend the border is secured. When Chuck Todd asks the Secretary of Homeland Security for a definition of what a secure border is, he can't give an honest definition. He can't give an accurate definition. He can't give a definition of what a secure border is. Texas is now moving people out of Texas to New York, Chicago, and elsewhere. Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, claims that that Governor Abbott is targeting cities run by black mayors. He's pulling the race card on it. That's right. It's racist to send them there. You know, Greg Abbott should send them to San Francisco, Los Angeles. Send them to, well, nope, you got a black mayor in Los Angeles now too. And I think San Francisco. Send them to Sacramento. Send them to Boston. Send them to Albany, New York. May God have mercy on those. You know, you send a, there's actually, you send an illegal alien to San Francisco, they might take a look around and say, I think I want to go back to Guatemala. I'll take my chances with the gangs. Send them to Juneau, Alaska. Send them somewhere where they get such a taste of the United. San Francisco is it. Send them all to San Francisco. Let them be there for a week. They'll realize, I think I'll take my chances with my home country. It's not a bad idea. Do that instead of sending them to Chicago and New York. But the fact that Eric Adams wants to play the race card tells you everything you need to know. It's not really a serious argument. He's just trying to drum up sympathetic support from the Democrats on a nonsensical issue. Meanwhile, Greg Abbott has an overflow of illegal immigrants in his state, and the federal government will do nothing to help him, let alone all of the drug lords and gang members coming across trying to flood our country with fentanyl. And Joe Biden does not care. I mean, he's treating Texas like it's one of Hunter Biden's illegitimate kids. Yeah, mull on that while we go talk about Patriot Mobile, which I've invited Glenn Story, their CFO, to come to the gathering in August and talk about what they're doing, because they're getting a lot of negative stories about them from left-wing media outlets who are furious with Patriot Mobile being so successful in how they help the conservative movement, and they need your help to be even more successful. All you do is take your cell phone service to them. You can port your existing phone number to them, so you keep your same phone number. If you've got an unlocked cell phone, you can keep your unlocked cell phone. They use the same cell towers you're already using, more likely than not, so you get guaranteed great service, and you get great discounts if you're a veteran or first responder, a teacher, an NRA member, and on top of all of that, you get free activation with my name, and you do business with a company that shares your values and funds the causes you care about. It's patriotmobile.com/Eric, patriotmobile.com/ERICK. You can also call them. They have 100% U.S.-based customer service, 972-PATRIOT. Tell them I sent you. You get free activation. If you're an NRA member, if you are a veteran, a first responder, a teacher, if you've got a lot of kids and need multiple lines, they give you great discounts. And then they fund the Second Amendment cause, the pro-life cause, and so much more. PatriotMobile.com/ERICK or 972-PATRIOT. Hello there. It is Eric Erickson here. I got to play you this clip. I'm surprised CNN actually just ran this a short time ago.
It's difficult to describe, Jim, with words, so I want to walk so you can walk with me and just see the magnitude of the number of individuals who are around this church here, just streets from downtown El Paso. A lot of these individuals you'll see are males, adult males. A lot of the women with children are actually in shelters, in a network of shelters throughout El Paso. As you mentioned, the city of El Paso under a state of emergency. They declared a disaster because of the influx, because they know that once Title 42 lifts, that there is going to be a greater influx of migrants. But here's the thing. So process this with me. Title 42 allows immigration agents to swiftly return migrants back to Mexico. So the obvious question as you look around is then why are there so many migrants if the federal government is actually implementing this Title 42? Then why are there so many migrants out here? Well, here's what we know. From talking to migrants and community leaders and officials on both sides of the border, I can tell you that thousands of migrants, nearly 40,000, are in at least four northern Mexican cities, and frustration is boiling over. A lot of them are deciding to cross the border. That's why you see so many out here. Some of them are turning themselves in to border authorities, Jim. Others are deciding to cross the border illegally because they've lost patience.
Wow. All right. There you go. That's CNN starting to cover this. And Title 42 goes away on May 11th. There's going to be a real test here, isn't there, to see does the media actually cover it when it goes away? The fact that CNN is covering this now, today, in El Paso, Texas, and it's a massive crowd of illegal alien men sitting near a shelter trying to get food is stunning. Good for CNN for covering this. It's a huge story. It's going to continue to be a huge story, particularly when Title 42 goes away on May 11th.